Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to episode 3 of the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. Did you know that reading is fundamental? Now I do. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. What's up, Internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. It's the third episode. I am Ray Moraldi, but you all know me as Ray Ray. As you know, I'm a hoops blogger, an NBA blogger specifically. And I used to have a podcast known as the Chronicles of Karate podcast, which I've ended since, you know, like, it got strange to carry John Karate's name. If you all know who he is, he's a backup point guard of the Utah Jazz a long time ago. So I rebranded this podcast into a variety podcast where I talk about any interest I want, but it's still mostly going to be about basketball. I'll talk more about that later on, but what's up this week? The biggest topic going on right now is Suge Knight. He was accused of, being behind the wheel on a hit and run, basically. And, you know, Suge Knight has been accused many times as being the perpetrator of many deaths, such as, you know, Tupac Shakur and whatnot. So here's the thing. This is like the weirdest celebrity encounter for me because, as you all know, I'm a pop guy. Everyone knows I'm a boy band kind of guy, Britney Spears, whatever, right? So my weirdest celebrity encounter has to be Suge Knight. And, you know, I know a little gangster rap here and there. I was pretty big on that in the 90s. But here's the thing. Like, I was just getting gas at the local gas station. And I got gas behind this red convertible. There's this big guy, and he was with a blonde, right? And then people started running up to him. Hey, Suge Knight! And I'm like, oh, that's Suge Knight, right? So I went up to him. And then we had this, like, weird, awkward handshake. Like, I think I tried to do a fist bump, and he tried to give me a real handshake and whatnot. But it turned out really awkward. Anyway, so I got a picture with him. And that has to be, again, the weirdest thing ever. Because, like, who would have thought, like, me getting a picture of Suge Knight. So I put that out there on Twitter just earlier today. By the way, it's January 30. So I put that out on Twitter, and, you know, people were obviously surprised and shocked that I would take a picture of Suge Knight. That happened, like I said, it happened in 2009, so it wasn't recent. I mean, I'm in Oregon now. So, but yeah, that was the weirdest celebrity encounter I've ever had. You know, people said I was brave for doing that. I mean, I guess sure. Yeah, I'm brave for doing that. He didn't hang me upside down the balcony or whatever, you know? So, I was here. I lived to tell the tale that I had a picture with Suge Knight. Another funny celebrity encounter was, this was way back in 2001. I was going out with this girl, we just watched Harry Potter, right? So this is like not unusual for me anymore because I'm obviously an NBA blogger now, but, back then in 2001, out the theater comes Kobe Bryant and his then girlfriend Vanessa. They just watched Harry Potter. So I saw all these people. They're just like, oh my God, it's Kobe, you know? And I thought it was pretty hilarious that Kobe Bryant just went out to watch Harry Potter, you know? And of course I found out from Dave McMenamin that he is a huge Harry Potter nerd. Kobe Bryant is. Anyway, so I pointed out to Jeannie, my girlfriend at the time, who was still starry-eyed over that movie. And I said, hey, look, it's Kobe. And then she responds with, who, a friend of yours? Yeah, I wish, a friend of mine. But just the fact that she said that, like, oh my God, like, seriously? But yeah, so Suge Knight and Kobe Bryant coming out of the theaters after watching Harry Potter, that's pretty hilarious. So yeah, those are definitely two of my more interesting celebrity encounters. Like, you know, it's hard for me to get starstruck, but I still think it's pretty cool that, you know, I saw these celebrities out in the open, you know? I mean, who wouldn't want that, right? So, Yeah, anyway, speaking of celebrities, but an old friend of mine, Zach Harper, is going to join us in about a minute or so, and we talk All-Star Weekend. Super Bowl, obviously, is on Sunday, and we're going to have a cold reading of what I mentioned last week, that erotica novel called A Gronking to Remember, which I talked to Jackie Pepper about last week. We actually have a sample of that erotica novel. So, we're going to go ahead, we're going to talk basketball, football, and we're going to do some reading. You know why? Because reading is fundamental. Scratch! On the line on the episode, on third episode of Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast, an old friend of mine, Zach Harper, CBS Sports, karaoke expert, basically. How's it going, man?
Big time karaoke expert. I'm good. I'm it's busy.
Uh-huh.
It's a busy time of year, but yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Good. How was birthday week? You had shenanigans in Hotlanta.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was fun. Did some karaokeing, ate some food, hung out with some people, watched some Hawks games, talked to Dominique Wilkins. Good time.
Nice, yeah. You know, it's funny because I've had you on my old podcast like 25 times.
Yeah.
I'm probably not even exaggerating this, but like, this is our first time where one-on-one for an extended period of time. This is kind of funny because we've known each other for like, what, 6 years now, I believe? Right?
I guess that was like 2009, right?
Yeah, like...
Yeah, that sounds right. When's Blocks and Balls? 2009?
Yeah, 2009.
We were like officially met. Yeah.
Yeah, right? You were double fisting that time, right? I remember that. Like, the first time I met you, you were carrying two drinks, right?
Most likely. I would say most likely. That's probably a statement.
Right. Yeah. So, the funny thing is that, like, I first started talking to you, we were both on MVN, Most Valuable Network. What the hell happened to that? Right?
I don't know. I don't, it was something where, it was around, and then it was like, oh, things might not be going okay, and so then I went somewhere else, and then it was like, hey, we're fine, what happened to you? And then, I don't really know. I don't really know what happened, but I also, like, I'm so bad at running a website that whoever made it the easiest for me was where I was gonna go.
Yeah, I think we all, it was like an exodus of, like, NBA sites leaving MVN. Like, I left, you left. Project Spurs left, our good friend Still Holdren, NBA Noise left, like, and then MVN went down. It was just like that. I think we caused the downfall of it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they also had, like, guys, like, go off to be writers in other places. Like, I think the guys that were running it, like, kind of got an opportunity, like, writing about baseball or writing about hockey or whatever, and just kind of, like, I've done that thing where you try to build up a network, so it's just exhausting, and there's no payoff, and you just have to go do your own thing. And that's my message to everyone. Just go do your own thing. Forget the clicks and forget the, you know, the trying to build up an army of people. It doesn't work. Just go be good. Just go, or don't even be good. Just, you know, sweet talk to the right people.
Do something.
Right.
Yeah. And that's how you basically started out, right? Like, before, when I first met you, MVN. Before MVN, you had your own site in TalkHoops.net.
Yeah,
so
I built it with Dreamweaver software. Guess who's not a website designer or a good person with Dreamweaver software? Me. It was an awful looking website, really bad, just broken links everywhere, and so that didn't go. Like, I made it way too complicated. And then someone was like, hey, we can simplify it for you. I said, yes, please. So I guess I started my website in 2007. And it went to, like, I don't know, maybe 2009, 2010, and then I kind of went to other websites and just been falling forward ever since, I guess.
I asked your partner in crime, Matt Moore, about if this was his end game. Was this your end game in the first place? Like, did you think, oh, I'm going to be an NBA writer when I grow up or something?
I wanted to do it when I was a kid. Well, I just wanted to cover the NBA. I didn't really know, like, writing. I just wanted to talk about the NBA because I loved it. And then for a while I wanted to be a teacher, and then for a while I thought I would be in, you know, the legal field and stuff like that. And then it just got to a point where I was like, I don't like anything I'm doing in life. I'm just going to write and see what happens. And then at that point I wanted to be, someone who, I don't know if someone who's like respected in writing, and like there's like mm-hmm. 8 people that respect me, and so I feel like it's coming true. I don't know what the official cutoff is for when you have enough people respecting you to be a respected writer. I feel like 8's enough. That was a show.
Right. Yeah. Remember the A seed? We still trying to get like everyone together for that, but it never happened.
Yeah, here you know it turns out to be an awful idea trying to get 8 people to talk on a podcast.
Right? Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking when I had like four of my friends do a podcast with me. And then we're trying to get like 8 writers to do a podcast with all together basically. And it's like maybe 1-on-1 is just best, right?
Yeah, like 1-on-1. It also minimizes, I mean, unless you're in like a studio or something, it minimizes the technical difficulties that can happen. Anytime I've tried to do more than one person on a podcast, I don't know if my equipment's not good or the internet's not good or what, but it becomes way more work for me to edit it. And you know me, I'm all about as little work as possible.
I mean, you know, when we had that podcast, the last Chronicles of Karate podcast ever with Lana and Kristen Ledlow and you, that was the worst editing job ever.
Oh man, because the internet just kept cutting out.
Yeah, and there's 4 of us, and I felt like I made Lana and Kristen mad because it kept cutting out, so it's like, the worst. So I'm not doing that again.
I hung out with Kristen and Lana, and that's all we talked about, was just how horrible you are because of the podcast connection. That's not true.
Well, we mostly
talked about the Waffle House.
Nice. And I saw you two sing Wilson Phillips on that video.
Yeah, I was singing some Hold On by Wilson Phillips. That was fun.
Great song.
I sang What a Man with Robbie Callen.
Oh, nice.
That was good. I don't know, I sang a bunch of stuff. I didn't sing Alone by Heart because they didn't have it.
That is strange. Like, all karaoke places should have Alone by Heart.
It's like at the top of every karaoke list that's out there. But and they even had it on this one page where they said, oh, that's actually not our list. It's something else. And so I requested it. They said, we don't have it. And then I had to settle for something. And then it kind of killed my vibe. Everyone else really picked it up. There's some good videos with Blackmail that I can use later on in life. But, other than being completely depressed that they didn't have Alone by Heart, it was good.
Maybe if I end up going to New York, maybe we can do that, Alone by Heart. But definitely Las Vegas.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Las Vegas for sure. We'll get a room. We'll get a karaoke rooms. And then, there's got to be karaoke in New York, right?
Yeah, there has to be.
City,
if I end up going.
It's a city that never sleeps and always sings. That's the tagline.
Yeah, and if I don't go, then you can go ahead and record yourself singing 3 minutes of Heart, basically,
of course,
right?
Yeah.
So, do it for me. So everyone's talking about the All-Star selections right now, and it just puzzles me how people get so worked up over this. Like, why?
it's insane to me. Yeah. It's really, like, I get it. It's supposed to be an accolade for players to accumulate, and so many of this means you're at this level in history and all this stuff. I get that, but it turns into just this crazy, dumb bias of, like, If this guy that you're arguing against was on your team, you wouldn't be saying this. And that's the part that drives me crazy, is I always just want to ask the person, like, if this guy was on your favorite team, would you feel this way? Because then, like, I just know you wouldn't, and it's fine. Like, I'm not saying don't be a fan. Like, that would be dumb. But, I've always been a person that is, I guess, narcissistically more worried about being correct than being biased. Like, me pumping up the Timberwolves in my mind, when is that ever going to pay off for me? It's been like 4 years in my life where that was a kind of a good idea.
Yeah.
And other than that, it's like, well, then I'm just going to look like an idiot because I've been telling you how good the Timberwolves are when they're not. And granted, that's an extreme depressing situation, and not all teams are like that, but it's, you know, if you're telling me Chris Paul has been terrible this year and Damian Lillard should be in over him, I just can't in good conscience think that you're operating without bias. And if you're operating with bias, then it's a colored, you know, a rose-colored or, I don't know, some kind of shaded argument, and then I'm just like, what's the point? Like, now you're just, hey, let me flex my Grizzlies muscles at you, and I don't care about
that. Right. You mentioned fan voting, how people aren't voting enough. And look at the numbers. The leading vote-getter is Stephen Curry with 1.5 million, Wasn't it like a few years ago when Vince Carter was getting $3 million? Like Howard was getting $3 million. What's going on here?
Yeah, I think because I don't see them at least at the Heat games or any of the or like the Warriors game I went to in December. Like I don't think they have ballots anymore, right? Because they used to hand out like the ballots and you would punch out the guys you want and then you would drop them in like a trash can or something, but not actual trash can because terrible process. But I feel like it was that, and so. People will just grab as many ballots as they could. And now you've, like, limited it to, I think it's 40 days of voting. You can only vote online or you can text. And you can vote as many as 10 times a day. And I just think, like, some people are saying, oh, Kobe got in because he has a bigger fan base. I don't buy that. I think Kobe got in because he's Kobe. But if you're trying to argue that Damian Lillard or James Harden should have been voted in over him, the fan base just isn't showing up. And that's not to say they're not good fan bases. I think it's just people don't think, like, oh, I should vote every day, 10 times a day, and do that. Like, that's just not a thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it broke down to, like, on average, if you took someone voting 10 times a day for 40 days, Damian Lillard had, like, 900 fans that did this. Like you can't tell me Damian Lillard has only 900 fans in the world. So it's just, like, just people aren't voting. And that's a weird thing. I think Mark Cuban brought something up about that. But that's a bizarre thing.
Yeah, we see the Gasols got in, and that weirded me out. I'm not saying they don't deserve it, but that kind of weirded me out.
And that's the thing, too. Like, Anthony Davis is one of the smallest markets in the league. He got 1.3 million votes. So you can't tell me it's a market thing because that doesn't add up at all.
Yeah, exactly. And, let's see. Kyle Lowry got in. I mean, that's also weird to me. Not that I'm not giving Canada any credit, but that's a little weird to me that he got in.
And that's without Justin Bieber knowing how to tweet.
You're right. Yeah. Kevin Durant didn't get in, which is also strange.
Yeah, that was actually the thing that kind of shocked me the most was that he didn't get that many votes. And I think that kind of showed that this isn't just a brainless process anymore. I still don't like fan voting for all-star starters. If we had, 11 guys selected in each conference by the coaches or players and coaches or whatever, and then the fans voted in the 12th person, I think that would be a cool idea, but, I'm not crazy about the idea of it being a popularity contest, but then you look at it and this is an exhibition game that doesn't count for anything. It might bump up a guy's salary, but it most likely will not. And it might help them in the Hall of Fame. Like, if you're one All-Star game off from getting into the Hall of Fame, you weren't going to get into the Hall of Fame. Like, I don't buy that argument. But it's an exhibition game in which we're supposed to promote the biggest stars in the league and the best players. Now they're kind of doing that. Like, Kobe's one of the biggest, Kobe's arguably the biggest star in the league. And so, why wouldn't he be in? You know, it's just, I don't know, it's kind of a weird, it's a weird thing to get so worked up about is ultimately my point.
Yeah. Do you think they should have the process of like how they did a Pro Bowl where it's like divided between coaches and front office and fans, basically? I mean, that's what I would do.
I don't know. I try to avoid making anything like the Pro Bowl just because the Pro Bowl sucks so much. I don't think I've ever watched a Pro Bowl. I maybe have watched a quarter of a game, but I think the NBA All-Star Game is the best All-Star Game, in my opinion. Although I don't watch and experience the hockey one, so I don't know if that's actually good. But I think it's better than baseball. I know it's better than the Pro Bowl. I think, ultimately, how the process is fine. Mm-hmm. I would like it to be different, but that doesn't mean anything. But I think, I don't know, some modification of what we do now is okay.
So what about expanding it to 13 players, because NBA rosters, some people don't notice, but rosters are actually expanded to 13 players in a game now.
Yeah, I guess that'd be okay. I mean, we already have a hard enough time playing 12 people, though.
That's true.
On each side. I guess if you're going to, hey, this guy's going to go out for 2 minutes, and that's going to be all, like, Tim Duncan doesn't want to go out there and bust his ass in an All-Star game, right? So if Tim Duncan's like, yeah, I'll go out for 2 minutes, I'll be the 13th guy, and then I'll go sit on the bench and enjoy myself the rest of the game. I guess if you kind of have it like that, and you'll probably almost always have veterans like that who are honored to be there, are appreciative of the honor, but ultimately don't want to exhaust themselves, you know, too much with the process. You know, maybe that helps us kind of fit more people in. Because that's the other thing about the West this year. There's like 16 All-Stars, but there's only 12 spots.
Basically,
so, yeah. You know, you can complain all you want and say guys got snubbed and guys got omitted, but you know, who are you going to take off? Like, you're going to, for the three guys you think were snubbed, you have to take three guys off the roster. That's kind of hard to do.
Yeah, exactly. Do you agree with Kevin Durant getting in, though? I mean, he didn't play enough games.
Absolutely. He's the second best player in the league. Why wouldn't he be in an All-Star game? He could play one game. I think he should be. Like, if he's healthy enough to play in the All-Star game, I want to see the best players and the biggest stars do what they do in an All-Star game if I'm going to watch it. So, like, the idea that Kevin Durant wouldn't be an All-Star to me is insane.
Okay.
And he played, what, 21 games, he said?
Yeah.
21 games he played, has he been one of the best players in the league? Like,
He's pretty much the best player in the league, actually.
Yeah, like, he's right there. So, I mean, why wouldn't he be one?
Yeah. So, All-Star Saturday, three-point shootout looks amazing with the Splash Brothers, Kyle Korver, JJ Redick, Wesley Matthews. Only five candidates this year?
I don't like that. We used to have eight candidates. Back in my day, we used to have eight candidates. We'd have two guys go at once. Like, why don't we do that anymore? You tell me there aren't eight shooters in the league right now?
No, there's tons of shooters. Eight players, and then it goes down to the semis, and then the finals,
right? Do three rounds. Like, that's how it was, and I love that way. Only five shooters. Do we still – I guess we're just eliminating two guys? Or we're eliminating three guys and then a two-man final?
I don't know. Like, what's – we have the shooting stars taking up time. We have the skills challenge taking up time.
They could cut the skills challenge completely.
They could cut out the shooting stars completely. I never liked the shooting stars.
I at least like the half-court portion of that. I like watching Dominique Wilkins throw up half-court shots.
It's basically a half-court shooting contest, you know?
It's whoever hits the half-court shot first usually ends up basically getting it. But it's I couldn't tell you one person who's won the skills competition. I think Tony Parker won it once. But
Did Baron Davis win one?
Sure, why not?
You
could tell me... Derek Martin won a skills competition. I would believe you. Like, I have no idea. Other people have had this idea, but I kind of like the idea of let's have big men in the competition.
Yeah,
let's do that. And you can adjust whatever you need to adjust, and then you could have it like by position: who's the best point guard against the best shooting guard against the best big man, or best guard against the best big man, or something like that. And then like kind of. I don't know, grade on a curve with the timing. I don't know how you would figure that out, but there's a lot of smart people in the league that can figure it out and then, you know, have them go against each other. Maybe you take out a pass for a big man or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, why not have DeAndre Jordan shoot, do the three-point contest or the skills challenge? I mean, that'd be great, right?
I don't know about three-point contest. I want to see guys who can actually shoot, but the skills competition, like, why wouldn't Rudy Gobert be in the skills competition? How fun would that
Let's
be?
Let's do that.
Yeah,
exactly. Did you like two-ball when it was in the All-Star Saturday? Did you like that?
What was the two ball? Was it essentially like force?
You pass the ball, I guess, or whatever, something like that, and they have spots where you can shoot.
It clearly didn't stick with me, so I'll guess no that I didn't like it. I remember two ball being, but I couldn't tell you what the rules were. It's kind of like the skills or the shooting stars now, right?
Like, I guess so. Yeah.
But it was not timed. It was how many points you could get.
It is timed, actually.
Is it?
It is timed. Yeah, a minute. Yeah,
but you weren't trying to get the fastest time. You were trying to get the most points.
Get the most points. Yes, most points.
I wouldn't mind. Yeah. I wouldn't. No, actually, no. I wouldn't mind that. That doesn't sound fun.
It replaced the dunk contest for a little bit. Actually,
yeah,
when
that was
the dunk contest.
A terrible idea.
And then Vince Carter came back with the dunk contest.
Yes.
And it was. Yeah. What would you want to put in All-Star Saturday? Like, what are your ideas? Do you have any ideas?
I like it kind of the way it is.
What about horse?
I don't know how you do horse and make it. Like, horse would have to be something they shoot before and then, like, show it on the screen, right?
Yeah, probably. That'd be good, yeah. Or a karaoke contest. It's still a karaoke.
Karaoke would be, Batty-oke would be good.
Yeah, it would be awesome,
I don't know. Like, some people want the one-on-one thing. I think that's too much injury risk.
Yeah, they suggested two-on-two as well, NBA Jam style or whatever. I don't know.
Full court 2-on-2?
There's still full court 2-on-2. Why not, right?
Oh my
and
God.
Then they have trampolines on each side.
Oh my god!
So they can do those dunks. That'll be awesome, right?
Why not just bring? I mean, I don't know. I don't know about this idea, but like, why not do the D League dunk contest, the NBA dunk contest, and then they both dunk off, and you have like a dunker of the world or something like that. Like you could, yeah. If you're gonna add something, you could do that.
Time to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue our interview with Zach Harper from CBSSports.com. In the meantime, enjoy his favorite karaoke song.
This is Zach Harper of CBSSports.com. You're listening to Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast, because Ray Ray is fundamental. You know, like those NBA commercials with the reading is fundamental. You get what I mean.
I hear the ticking of the clock. I'm lying here, the room's pitch dark. Wonder where you are tonight. No answer on the telephone. And the night goes by so very slow. Oh, I hope that it won't end alone. Till now,
hope Harper sang along to this song. Anyway, back to the interview with Zach Harper from CBSSports.com. Reading is fundamental.
What is wrong with the dunk contest? They're bringing it back to the regular rules, and I think Zach LaVine's gonna be awesome, but like, what is wrong with the dunk contest?
Us. We're what's wrong with,
us.
We're what's wrong with the dunk contest. There's nothing, like, the problem is that we keep asking for bigger and better dunks, right? And, mm-hmm. But that makes it harder to complete. And so if a guy doesn't get the dunk on the first try, well, we already saw what he's going to do. And then and then there's no, like, wow factor for us, which I get. But at the same time, like, let's try to – like, I think we should have perspective and be like, okay, he went around his – like, he went around his back off the bounce and dunked it. He didn't get the first time. I saw what he was doing. He still completed that dunk. That's crazy. I also think it is on the dunkers, though. Like, you have to be able to play the crowd. And that's why Zach LaVine will be so good, is he's very good at playing the crowd. But you also have to know your dunking competition. You have to know, the league has to know that, like, there's a guy out there named Markel Brown for the Brooklyn Nets who is one of the best dunkers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Mason Plumlee, I don't even think Mason Plumlee will be bad. I think he'll be fine in the dunk contest, but why is Mason Plumlee in there over someone on his team who's much better at it?
Are they doing their research or something? Because, like, I remember, like, didn't they just bring in James White just for the dunk contest itself? That's what I like to think, at least, you know?
Yeah, but they brought him in when he was 31 years old. Like,
exactly.
That guy should have been doing when he was 22.
Yeah.
Like, he would have been an all-timer if he was doing when he was 22. He came in, you know, 31 and, you know, probably hungover, I don't know. And and so he didn't, like, take it seriously, and he didn't succeed. But it's, like, another guy is Tirico White. He's not in the league anymore, but that dude should have been in a dunk contest.
Yeah.
Like, I just think I think everyone needs to kind of put it in proper perspective, the writers included, myself included, put it in proper perspective, and the league needs to know who are our best dunkers. Go ask the players around the league who should be in the dunk contest, and then offer up, like, a reason to be in. Like, I don't think the whole $1 million to the winner, screw that, that's too much money. But let's figure some kind of incentive out.
But hey, at least it's back to the regular rules, right? No more American Idol style voting.
No
right?
voting. So thank goodness. Like, no voting. No, I didn't mind the team concept, but they didn't know. They had no contingency plan if all three team, or if all three players from one conference made it.
Yeah.
If they won their little dunk offs, like, they had no contingency plan for that. So it was just like, all right, we're done. Which was
that was
insane.
Weird.
Like, you should eliminate those guys, and then you have a dunk-off between the last three guys, right?
Yeah, that was just weird, because it's like they're just in there dunking. Like, what the hell's going
on?
Who was
the 2014
dunk champion? Done.
Was it John Wall?
It was John Wall.
Paul George?
It was John Wall.
Why? What did he do? Like, he got voted? That's crazy.
John Wall did that little, he took the ball and did a pump, between the legs dunk or whatever.
Yeah, no, that was great. I remember that dunk.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Yeah. Why did he win?
But Paul George, why did he win? Paul George did a three. Go ahead.
I was just thinking, like, why did he win the dunk contest? Because we voted? That's crazy. That's not a win.
Yeah. Paul George did a 360 between the legs dunk.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, what happened to that? I don't know. It's just, but I'm just glad it's back to the old rules now, so. Before I let you go, first of all, Super Bowl pick, who you got?
I think I have the Seahawks. I thought they were the best team all season.
Number one defense also.
Yeah, like watch them and it's like, it's kind of hard to find flaws with them. That's not that the Patriots aren't great. I think the Patriots are going to put up a hell of a fight, and the Patriots very well win this. But I don't know. It's hard for me to see someone lighten up that defense enough to beat them, and then, you know, Marshawn Lynch can't be tackled. Russell Wilson's so cool under pressure. You know, I don't think he's as good as Tom Brady, but I think he's as calm of a presence as Tom Brady, which, you know, just when it comes to those pressure situations, and that stuff matters, and I don't know, and that's the thing. Like, I'm supposed to hate the Seahawks because I'm a 49ers fan, but I don't. Like, I really don't like Pete Carroll. He drives me insane. Like, I really hate his personality, but the rest of that team, I love that team. Mm-hmm. That defense, are you kidding me? Like, the run game, Russell Wilson, like, that team's awesome. That would be
file over the place.
Yeah, that would be a fun team to root for. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, like, I know I'm supposed to hate him. Like, I don't want, if they could win a championship without Pete Carroll getting credit for it, that would be ideal. Like, that would be the best. But then also, like, I like Tom Brady. I've always liked Tom. I've liked him since his Michigan days. I'm not trying to be a Tom Brady hipster. I'm just saying, like, I liked him since his Michigan days. Every time he's been in the Super Bowl, I've rooted for him because I just like watching him play. I like the whole touchdown Tom thing. And if they won, that'd be cool. I wouldn't mind that.
Okay, so you mentioned the Patriots and then Rob Gronkowski, who happens to have a. Not him, but an author made an erotica series about him. I don't understand this. This is just weird.
Sure. Who do you think the first NBA writer is going to be to get an erotica series written?
Oh, my God. I never thought of that. Oh, man.
I'm going to go Dan Wyke.
Seriously?
I think Dan Wyke is going to get that. I might write it.
I might write one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to be an aspiring novelist here. Maybe me.
Yeah, I'm going to write about Dan Wyke in an erotica novel series, and it's going to be solely based on Tinder.
I'm going to write about Tinder Night. How's that?
Yeah.
And then, you know, they get turned on by Kyle Korver's three-pointer.
How could you not?
Yeah, right? So, we have a sample of A Gronking to Remember, and we're going to do a little bit of reading about this. So,
it's called A Gronking to Remember?
Yep.
My Lord, that's a title.
Let me read the first few paragraphs here, then you can follow.
I'd love to.
I'll never forget the first time I saw Gronk spike a football. It changed my life forever. The unrivaled power of his touchdown dance, the Gronk. I never even seen that before. It jettisoned jiggling ribbons of electric jelly through my body and melted my knees like two pads of margarine. Turned me on quicker and made me wetter than at any other time in my life besides my wedding night. Who, I said, walking all the way to the den from the kitchen, getting a drink after an intense sewing session that had left my hands pleasantly sore, and stood behind the couch. Who... What, my husband Dan asked with a peevish tone to his voice. Wifey no speaky during man smashy time.
Who? Horrible writing.
Who's that? I said. The guy who just did that football throwdown thing. Come on, Lee, that's Gronk, one of Dan's friends shouted from across the room. I laughed. You may continue.
Gronk? It was such a weird word. Like something a caveman would say. But the name made sense with what I saw on the gigantic flat screen TV over the fireplace. What's a Gronk, I asked. Gronkowski. Rob Gronkowski, Dan said. I said, sticking my finger absentmindedly between my teeth and swiveling my torso slowly at the hips. Nobody makes that motion at any point in their life.
Right.
I should start off by saying that I'm not one of those women who like football. I mean, you see them, the women in the jerseys and whatnot, in the stands at games, acting all frenzied and squeezed all around by burly, hairy, ape-like, oily, wild-eyed, crazy, gorgeous, wildly insane men. And you have to wonder, they really understand what's going on out there on the field? Are they just there to keep an eye on their husbands? Make sure they don't fall over a balcony? Or are there enticements of overpriced, bland hot dogs and Bud Light really too much to turn down for these ladies of the Gridiron Appreciation Club, in quotations? On the screen, they showed a slow motion replay of the Gronk man, catching the football and then barreling his way through three other smaller men onto a colored part of the field I later learned was called the end zone. His body was large, and even though he had lots of pads under his outfit and a big round helmet, you could tell how muscled he was, how fit and bulging he was everywhere. This is really bad writing, but I'm kind of getting into it. It's kind of like Scandal.
Let's continue. It's hard to explain exactly, but seeing such a fierce display of physical domination on TV made me feel like a woman. I felt instantly small and tender and moist. I felt susceptible and presentable. My body and soul were the complete opposite of what was happening in the game, and I felt a sort of warm glow pulsating inside my stomach. As far as Sundays in November went, it was a typical Sunday in November in our household. My husband had a few of his shapeless friends over for football games. Shapeless friends!
Oh, man.
And there they all were, two or three guys named Steve, a Todd, a Mike, there might have been a Greg or a Craig, possible a Tad or Chad. Tad? Spread around the room, a small cluster of them at the coffee table, which was covered in chips and dips and half-empty beer bottles. It was guts, farts, and sports gear aplenty. It wasn't my scene, to say the least, but I came into the den and sat down next to Dan. My stomach could wait, I thought, could go to hell for all I cared. Suddenly, all I wanted to do was watch Gronk do his thang-thang in the zone place there. My vagina demanded it.
I did my thang-thang in a zone place once, and it didn't end well.
You may continue.
So, like, what are teams playing? Oh, no. So, like, what teams are playing? I asked, squinting at the abbreviations next to the score. STL and NE. Seattle and who else? NE, Nebraska. A couple of guys clapped. There was crunching and slurping and the metallic yawn of a reclining chair going back. Jesus, Lee, Dan said. What? Who's playing is all I want to know. Dan laughed into his upturned bottle of Molson Extra Gold. Since when do you care about football, he asked. Still beat. I am interested in all of humanity, I said. And as inhumane as these pituitary monsters are behaving, I'm willing to bear witness for the greater sake of humanity. This soliloquy / weirdness had the wanted effect of at least shutting Dan up. Some of the guys laughed. If I had pierced the invisible wall of his special Sunday boys club, there was nothing he could say about it now. Dan and I had been going through some difficulties for a while, and after 6 years together, I knew that I would be hearing about it later when the guys left. But I'd cross that bridge when I came to it, I thought. I nestled in on the couch, curl my legs up under me. Maybe I would get to see Gronk spike another football through my heart. The game continued, and the game continued, and continued. Continuing some more, the game then proceeded to continuing after that.
Who wrote
just take one writing class, that's all I ask. All that green field and mindless color malaise of padded bodies, nothing made sense, and my thoughts began to wander again across the kitchen to my sewing studio. My darning needles, my waiting Le Clic Voyageur table loom, my pearl ones, my knit twos. But suddenly, there was a commotion in the room. I refocused my eyes on the TV. Wow.
Brady in the shotgun, the TV announcer said. Steps back in the pocket. Shane Vereen in the backfield. Play action. A Gronkowski fade route. Brady unloads. Gronk catches. Breaks the tackle. Makes for the middle. Breaks another. Look at that block. Blocking the door of the house. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown, Gronkowski. My heart leaped in my chest. It was stunning. There were groans and cheers throughout the room. I stood. On the TV, I watched an incredibly large man spaz out with joy. He was surrounded by his teammates, mere munchkins by comparison. They surrounded him like little supplicants around a holy mountain, but he scattered them away. Oh, here it comes, the announcer said. Oh, yes, said another voice. The Gronk, look out, everyone! Gronk lifts the football in his hand and spikes it down with such violence the ball launches 50 feet in the air. Really?
They would never say, oh, here it comes, in regards to a celebrant. That just doesn't happen.
Right. In flip-out wrestling to get the holy token of pigskin. Needless to say, I am weakened again by the spectacle. Silky ribbons of juicy pleasure wobble through my nethers. My nipples harden beneath my sweater. I am hot. The room around me recedes. My breath quickens. I squeeze my hands together in the center of my chest between my breasts. I'm about to pass out when a needly nasal voice startles me from my reverie. What the hell is wrong with you, Lee? It is my husband, Dan. Daniel, my husband of 6 years. I managed to stammer out. Nothing, I say. Should I say anything about what I'm feeling? About how I'm so insanely turned on by watching a hulking man 10 years younger than me, a mere boy, spiking a football on TV. It's so absurd. It was new to me. I couldn't imagine what the fellas in the room would have said. They would have laughed and then had to hear about it from their idiot wives later at some get-together. But lucky for me, Dan isn't that perceptive. Oh, are you saying he's dumb? Since you're leaving, can you bring in those 3 extra 6-packs from the garage before you disappear into Yarnia? I take a few breaths. They're playing a touchdown and monster spiking again on the TV in slow motion, and I can feel my in my panties. But I maintain my composure. I straighten myself out. 6-pack? I bet Gronk has a 6-pack he could wash laundry on. I lick my lips thinking about it.
Sure, I say, and walk out to the garage. It's November and we live in Connecticut. The garage is cold. My nipple is already hard, erect further into the soft wool of my white sweater. A comfy, cozy little number I'd darned up a couple years ago during a Coryadale phase. I reach for the refrigerator door where Dan keeps his extra football beer, but my hand doesn't make it. Nope, not at all. My fingers take a detour to the front of my pants. I back up against the door to the kitchen. I sink my hand all the way down the front of my panties into my begin furiously rubbing my ooh, ooh, I moan to myself. Probably not
so convincing, Zach.
I picture being mauled by a huge monolith of a man. My body used for his hard pleasure, a stone god gripping me in his hands. He hoists me in the air. My clothes are ripped off from my body. My quivering flesh open and available, my body ready to be used by the strong force of the universe. A ravaging, rampaging man. He brushes aside his loincloth, and then out comes a stone pillar of a c**k. And then he takes me.
I think that's enough.
I don't know, I'm getting into this.
Want to do one more paragraph then? Go for it.
Oh, within seconds, my back slams against the garage door. I shout out once, twice, stifle myself. Oh god, I moan, my voice loose and hoarse, and then, wow, my orgasm is primordial, primeval, intense, insane.
Wow. So, would you buy this book? It's $3.
No. Here's the thing. I'm not against the idea of a romance novel. I think it's a very lucrative genre. I'm against the way these are written. It's just, it's not even that, like, oh, it's for women, not for you. No, it's just bad writing. She literally says, it is my husband Dan. Period. Daniel, my husband of 6 years. What? And she said continue like 13 times in a 4-sentence structure. This is just horrible. And for someone who doesn't know football, she sure nailed that what the TV announcer was saying about Shane Breen in the backfield and a Gronkowski fade. There's no way she would have kept all that in her mind.
Wow, I don't even know what to say. After that reading, I feel like I should spend my hard-earned $3 just to buy this, read this entire book.
I kind of think I should go for the Patriots now.
Yeah, I want to see the Gronk.
Yeah,
4 or 5 times.
I want to see a Gronk to remember. Thank you, Lacey Noonan.
Yes, whoever you are, we're going to refer to Patriots now. Zach, it's been a pleasure. It's been fun doing this reading and talking about everything about basketball and football. And hey, someday we'll have karaoke again. Cool?
Sounds good to me.
Awesome. Thanks, Zach. Do you know how hard it was to edit that thing? I can't even believe we did that cold reading of A Gronking to Remember. So, shout out to Lacey Noonan, whoever you are, this spectacular piece of writing. Thanks to Zach Harper for joining me for this show. Follow him on Twitter at Talk Hoops. You can find his work at CBSSports.com, Ion Basketball. And he produces a really good NBA podcast, so check that out as well. Again, follow me on Twitter at the No Look Pass. You can also follow me on Instagram if you like pictures of dogs. That's Think Ray Ray, because you have to think Ray Ray. That's about it. The Super Bowl is on Sunday, and we have All-Star Weekend, the weekend after Valentine's Day weekend actually. And I'm sure you're gonna love watching the 50 Shades of Grey, which opens on Valentine's Day. It's going to be such an awkward movie. I know I'm probably going to be watching it and live tweeting it at some point, or I'm going to end up being coaxed into watching that on some random date or something like that. So, yeah. So that's about it. Just remember that Ray Ray is fundamental, and you don't need a library card to check me out. Until the next episode, guys!
I'm a Warriors, and I'm always going to be a Warriors.
I didn't forget you, Gal Pal Squad. Shout out to you, gals.
Game over, yeah!
Moded.